Please do not move around. Please do not move around. If you're not standing in the area occupied by commissioners, you're not supposed to be counted. People up in the balcony ought not to be counted. We'll allow it this time, but from henceforth, on a counted vote, if you're in the balcony, step to the floor if you want to be counted. Will you be seated? All of those who are opposed to the committee's recommendation, will you please stand? For count, stay where you are. Do not move around, please. Frank, is this... While this count is being completed, the stated clerk has an announcement, please.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, if I may make this announcement during this period, the temporary clerks are here, and their expenses are to be paid by the General Assembly. That means we are expecting them to be in service on the floor. The only ones that should not be here at this time would be those from those two committees that have been excused. All the other temporary clerks should be in your places and acting. If not, your expenses will not be paid.
Thank you.
A vote of 210 would be required for two-thirds. The vote was 187, so the motion failed.
That would be in order, yes, because we were very confused.
Could we ask for another count, Mr.
Moderator? The committee chairman is asking for another count in view of the imperfection with which we began that particular procedure, and I'm going to allow him that privilege. We are going to recount. All in favor of the motion before the House as proposed by the Committee of Commissioners, please stand, and this time remain in your place until you are counted. Don't forget these people up here at the head table.
If it fails, we lose our money.
No.
I can't count. I'm not voting.
You all have already been elected.
Okay. But now what we'll have to do about the book that Roberts does say, the moderator can appoint parliamentarians.
Right.
So we'll go ahead and appoint some. We'll get the moderator to appoint them as he needs.
Amen.
We'll have them.
If it fails, would be this be the time to appoint those who have been previously?
You haven't forgotten me, I hope. Paul, sometimes I mentioned it, but I had not talked to him earlier. He said he'd rather not. But I did not leave it. Jim Moore is another other man that I talked to, and Jack Williams.
No. I'm talking about this motion. If it fails.
But then you see, if this motion fails, then the only way we're going to get a parliamentarian is if I appoint him.
Well, I did appoint him.
Yeah, you did appoint him. I don't think we need to really do anything more about it right now, unless we need more assistance.
It's a difference between election and appointment. And there is a difference between election and appointment. We can if we don't have an election and appointment,
no problem. No problem. I didn't know what maybe I should have answered.
Yeah, if Roberts applied, we'd figure out where we don't have other rooms. Mr. Jeff, if we see all the problems, we don't feel like
all right, be seated. Those who oppose the committee's recommendation, will you please stand and be counted? Will you be seated?
We're still short. We're still short of two-thirds. The motion fails. 152 was the other. Your second recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Second recommendation, and by the way, if you will cross-reference all of these with the rules of assembly operations beginning on page 4 in the handbook, it will help. 3-8, recommendation is he shall be assisted in his duty by the assistant parliamentarians elected by the assembly. The Committee of Commissioners recommends the approval of this recommendation.
That motion has been made and seconded.
Does that make the first one known to
the board? I see no one.
Point of order.
With the matter of the other bread, after this part has done by the board with the other motion. I do think, Mr. Chairman, if I may address the chairman, Mr. Matter, that the thing that was being voted against the matter.
The motion was a matter of assistant parliamentarians. You do probably need to have the matter of their expenses brought back in. In other words, If the question of the parliamentarians is the question that was being defeated in the other motion, that you are defeating this whole matter of paying expenses of clerks. I think we'd be able to pay them this year because we said that we were going to by order of the Committee on Administration, but if we wanted this in the rules, you may need to bring that back in without the matter of parliamentarians.
Unless I misunderstood what happened before Mr. Bolas came up, the moderator appointed an assistant parliamentarian, and that appointment would not be canceled by the action that the Assembly has just taken in respect to electing such persons. That's my understanding of the action that we took.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, that is correct. Roberts does say the chairman may appoint if he needs an assistant parliamentarian, and so your appointment would be made on the basis of Roberts now and not on our basis of our special rules.
All right. Will you proceed, Mr. Chairman?
All right. Next section is 8-1, cross-reference page 5 in the manual. The recommendation is to add a line number 12 to those 11 committees that are listed there, and that committee would be the Conference Center Committee, and it would be a subcommittee touching conference centers as to what it would handle. The recommendation is that this be concurred in.
You've heard the recommendation. It comes with a second of the committee. I see no one asking for a microphone without objection. It is ordered.
Right. Next paragraph, add a new 8-4 as follows and renumber the subsequent paragraphs accordingly. Quote, 8-4, the committee may be scheduled to meet prior to the opening session of the assembly to handle the business referred by the stated clerk as published in the handbook. The assembly shall provide a stenographer for each committee who shall record the actions of the committee and prepare the report of the committee under the direction of the chairman and secretary of the committee. Committee of Commissioners votes to ask the assembly to approve this recommendation.
Motion has been made to approve. I see no one at the microphone without objection. It is so ordered.
Next recommendation under 9, add new 8-582 as follows. It shall set a time after which a late arrival shall not be permitted to vote on the report. The Committee of Commissioners votes to ask the Assembly to answer this request in the negative. In the negative.
Committee recommends a negative response. I see no one
at a microphone
without objection. It is so ordered.
Next section, delete item 3 and replace item 4 with a new 8-4-3 as follows. Meetings of the committees of commissioners shall ordinarily be open to the public as non-participating visitors to the extent made possible by the physical facilities of the meeting room. If such visitors desire the committee to consider a proposal on some item of business that is before the committee, this must be presented in writing.
No new items of business not referred to the committee by this member may be considered by the committee.
The chairman and representatives of the permanent committee and the coordinator and appropriate staff members shall be available for consultation with the committee of commissioners reviewing their work.
After the committee of commissioners has received input
from the permanent committee, coordinator, staff members, and visitors, it should then go into executive session as it frames and adopts its report to the General Assembly. It must be an executive session
and it actually adopts the report. The committee of commissioners may invite other persons for consultation purposes,
and this is that necessary to the committee's performance of its business. The committee of commissioners
has voted to ask the assembly to answer this recommendation in the affirmative. Assembly has members to in presence of this recommendation, attendance of open meetings or the meetings of committees of commissioners and so will be open to visitors and representatives of those committee meetings. I do not see anyone
asking for the moderator's attention. Without objection, it is so ordered.
Next, subsection 8-11-4, change to read, presented to the assembly by the chairman or his designate, as set forth in sections 10-2 and 10-3. Committee of commissioners voted to ask the assembly to answer this in the negative.
Without objection, it is so ordered.
Next section continues on the new section of section number 9, adding a new section 9, renumbering the subsequent sections. The expenses of the following permanent committee shall be borne by that particular committee: administration, Christian education and publications, mission to the United States, mission to the World Stewardship and PCA foundations, trustees of insurance and annuity fund. Committee of Commissioners votes to ask the Assembly to answer this in the affirmative.
Without objection,
it is so ordered.
9-2,
annual expenses of the General Assembly shall be divided between the four major permanent committees
on the percentage basis of the distributing undesignated gifts. The Committee of Commissioners has voted to ask the Assembly to pass it by saying yes to the Permanent Committee on this. Answer it in the affirmative.
Without objection.
The next section was passed.
Excuse me, sir. Just want to give them a chance.
All right. Next section was passed yesterday afternoon. If you will come to recommendation 10 with me. Those of you who were not with us, it was not passed as is printed in the handbook. The printed form of that is being worked on over in the copy center and will be handed out to you as soon as it's available on the floor. Recommendation 10, that the following subcommittees be heard when they are ready to report: interchurch relations, judicial business, trustees on insurance and annuities, trustees on the PCA Foundation, subcommittee on stewardship, and subcommittee on conference center. The committee of commissioners has voted to ask the assembly to answer this in the affirmative.
Is this what we said yesterday?
No, sir. This is what this new one. Without objection, it is so ordered.
Murray, that concludes our preliminary report, and we hope to see you on Friday morning.
Mr. Moderator.
Mike Seven.
Robinson, Calvary Presbyterian. In regard to the business list included, I'd like to make two motions that I think will clear up the matter we defeated on the first motion.
Just one moment. Did you move adoption of the committee as a whole? Will you do that so he can
move? I move, sir, the adoption of the recommendations as a whole.
They're on the floor. All right.
I know I can't make two motions.
Wait a minute.
That's the preliminary.
Oh, preliminary. My mistake. My apologies to the offender. Yeah. Go ahead, Mickey. We'll come back. Microphone 7 is in order. Yes, sir. Identify yourself, please, sir.
Ed Robinson, Calvary Presbytery. Now, I realize I can't make two motions, but I think the assembly has to understand there will be two motions so that they won't act on the one without knowing there'll be a second one. First motion would be that the clerk shall nominate persons to serve as recording clerks and assistant clerks, period. And then the rest of it would read as it did before. After opportunity is given for other nominations, the assembly shall elect the necessary assistants for the stated clerk's office. The expenses of these assistants shall be borne by the assembly.
Just a minute. The motion, Madam will rule that the motion is allowable. You want to read that one more time and see if you have a second?
Well, I did have a second, but I'd be glad to read it one more time. If you're turning to page 110, it'll make it real simple for you. All I did was take the original motion and strike "and assistant parliamentarians" and put an "and" in between recording clerks and assistant clerks.
Does the General Assembly understand the motion? It has been made and it has been seconded. Again? Request has been made that you read the whole thing again.
All right. Ed. The clerk shall nominate persons to serve as recording clerks and assistant clerks, period. After opportunity is given for other nominations, the assembly shall elect the necessary assistants for the stated clerk's office. The expenses of these assistants shall be borne by the assembly.
You want to say anything to your motion?
I merely want to say I think the assistant clerks ought to be paid, and this will implement being able to do it.
I see no one seeking the microphone. I am going to call for the question. Microphone 14.
Arthur Rogers, County Presbytery, ruling elder. I object to this paying of expenses. I think we are opening the door, and the first thing you know, we'll have everyone wanting his put in and having his expenses paid. I see this happen frequently in private organizations. And I think it's a bad precedent. I think that it's certainly not the best part of wisdom at this point in our denomination. I strongly object to this trend.
I'm going to put the motion. Those in favor of the motion will please raise your hand. Down. Those opposed to the motion will please raise your hand. Oh boy. It takes 2/3. I don't believe that passes. Our moderator is going to rule that the motion loses.
Second motion is not necessary then.
It's necessary to bring me a copy of that.
Yes, sir.
All right, the point, personal privilege. Have a mic.
Yes,
Mr. Moderator, I'd like to ask that Dr. D. James Kennedy, pastor of the Carl Ridge Presbyterian Church, and Mr. Steve Brown, pastor of the Key Biscayne Presbyterian Church, and if Mr. Joe Scherer, I don't believe he's here, the Plantation Church in South Florida, would come forward. And I'd like to ask the ruling elders of those churches who are present to please come forward a moment. And the staff, if the old churches. And this line up here.
Mr. Moderator, may I go ahead and make an announcement while they're coming forward? Now, we need the copy of every motion, whether it is passed or not, in a written form. We need our assistant clerks, as soon as a man stands to make a motion, to go stand beside him and get that copy. Please, assistant clerks, take notice that that's one of your duties. Closest man to that microphone, go get a copy of that motion. Get it in written form, whether or not it passes, we want it in written form.
Fathers and brethren, when the Lord in this providence brought into being the PCA, remember our brethren in PCUS churches from which many of us came, who for one reason or another were not ready at that time to join us. I praise the Almighty God that the Holy Spirit gave to us a grace, which said to these brethren, you may not be ready now. We will not come as latecomers, but we will receive you as brethren in Christ, full-fledged members of this great denomination that God has borrowed to be. It was our privilege last week to welcome to the PCA, to the First Christ Presbyterian Church of Augusta, Georgia, where the PCUS was founded. Although it didn't come when we originally founded it, when PCA was started, we welcomed them. And maybe other churches. But I think it's significant that in South Florida, the great Key Biscayne Church, in Miami, the Plantation Church, and the great Carl Ridge Presbyterian Church in Fort Lauderdale, the Steve Brown at Key Biscayne and Dr. D. James Kennedy at Carl Ridge and Joe Scherer at the Plantation and their staff and ruling elders who are here for the first time, let us welcome these brothers and sisters and thank God that he has sent them to us and welcome as full-fledged members and encourage them to participate in this General Assembly. Let's give them a hand.
I would like to introduce Dr. Ken Wackus and Reverend Bob Prim, who are two other members of our ministerial staff that are with us, as well as a member of our elders, and say that I'm delighted personally to be here. I said to my namesake, Kennedy Smart, a little while ago as they were talking about the mission for the world, that this is really neat. You know, I don't even know where the faith is. You know, PCS, you get in the room and you come out fighting, and there doesn't seem to be any fighting. This is really tremendous. But we're
just delighted to be here. I want you to know that, and we pray God's blessing upon this denomination. Thank you for having us.
He gave me just a minute to do the same thing.
This is Steve Brown. Key Biscayne Church.
I'd like to introduce, I think you know Les Thompson. He's kind of your fan. I've worked with your fan for a long time. He's on the part-time staff there. And Bill Coe, who's an elder there. We were talking to Jim just earlier, and I remember after 15 years of fighting both in the Lutheran Church and PCUS, I went to the first secretary meeting of PCA in 7th Avenue and said I'd bow down to heaven. And we just just consider it a privilege to be a part of what God is doing in this, in your midst. And thank you.
I believe we are ready at long last for the business of the Committee on Mission to the World.
Has the report been distributed? It has.
Mr. Chairman, we are ready. Is there an extra copy of that report for the moderator?
Mr. Moderator,
and members of the court said, Brother and Christ.
I hope Brother Kennedy won't know where the fight is by the time we have completed this report.
The committee has spent many hours in this preparation of the report. Your appendix committee and staff have spent many days, weeks, and months,
and even years in their preparation for the place in this phase of the mission to the world where we are at this time. I'm sure that every time that we have met and every time your permanent staff and your committee have met, that you have opened with prayer, seeking God's guidance in those things that you've done. And I'm sure that as we have prayed, that the Lord has led us in the right direction. In each of our meetings, as the commission, the committee of commissioners opened their meetings and closed, it was with prayer, asking God's blessing, and that was done. Let us bow our heads for a brief prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we know that thou art the source of every spiritual blessing, and thou art wise and sufficient to meet every man's need. We do pray that as we come to thee, even now, that thou would open our hearts to be receptive to the things that are to be done here this day. And may it be that we will truly catch a vision of the needs in the fields of the world. Give us thy wisdom as we carry out the deliberations which are here before us. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen. This report was prepared in somewhat great haste and under somewhat pressure, and there's a good bit of editing should have been done, which we never had the time to do. And our secretary, not the secretary elected from the Committee of Commissioners, but the one that was doing the work in the office that had been assigned us, omitted a few things, and a few things were changed. So let me very quickly point these out to you. The numbers at the bottom of your pages should be list numbered beginning with 907 instead of 805. It should be 907, 908, 909, etc. I want to call that to your attention. On the last page, which has no number, and then I bet that if you have, on the last page of the report, which has no number, there have been two or three omissions there. The Ascension Presbytery did have a ruling elder present at
Mr. Moderator, Frank Moser, Ascension. Excuse me, sir, but we don't have this report back here in this section, and I don't think on the back on this side either. Can you hear me? My brethren asked the chairman if he might speak a little louder also.
More reports in the back. We're just doing a little editing here to straighten out. We had requests that the secretary put R.E. instead of Mr. in front of the ruling elders and T.E. in front of the reverends, but it didn't come out that way. So we're asking the clerk will have this in the final minutes, I'm sure will be corrected. I do want to point out that the Ascension Presbyters should be the first one listed on that last page of the report, indicating Mr. Peter Stazen as F-T-A-Z-E-N, Stazen as the ruling elder that was on the commission. Peter,
P-E-T-E-R.
I also want to point out that Carolina Presbytery should have been listed as one of the presbyteries and the presbyteries, and it should they did not have a representation on this commission.
Or else we did not approve them as little fellows.
So much for these little items. When, if you know them, you know them, but we will move forward down with the report. We tried to make our report according to the instructions given us as brief as possible, and it was divided up into several sections, as you will notice, like under Roman 1, items referred to and considered by the committee. And I will read you these preliminary parts till we get to the recommendations, and then we will decide on the procedure there.
Items referred to and considered by the committee. Minutes of the permanent committee for the following dates, September 13, 16, 1977, November 17, 1977, February 17, 18, 1978, and May 19 through 20, 1978. And then B, we considered the report of the permanent committee found in the handbook on page 901, if you may want to refer to it later, and this is where we will insert the receipt. C, overtures 18 and 19 were dealt with. This is in the handbook on page 30. D, the audit report. Roman number 2, statement of issues discussed. A, calls for fasting in the Lord's Day. B, women's rows of church changes. C, automobile loans and interest charged to missionaries. D, itineration expense of missionaries. E, interpretation of policy manual concerning food money spent at crucial times for world evangelization. F, Church Missionary Association. G, missionaries and visas for Mexico. H, those studies for anticipated numbers of missionaries. I, missionaries and present gifts of the Spirit.
Roman 3, the recommendations by the permanent committee. Now, it should be noted that these recommendations appear in the handbook are original working list, and that the ones listed below are the final list adopted by the permanent committee as seen in its minutes of February 17, 18, 1978.
Recommendations.
That the assembly express its gratitude to God for answers in prayer in the provision of outstanding missionary candidates, especially church planners, in the spirit of dedication and self-sacrifice demonstrated by many of our congregations and people in the support of missions, and those blessings from the rest of our missionaries throughout the world. Number 2, that the assembly re-elect the Reverend Paul McCone as coordinator. Do you want to take these, Sherry Adams?
These are the recommendations of the permanent committee. These are not the recommendations of the committee of commissioners. Okay. Go ahead.
Number 3, that the budget for 1979 as presented by the Committee on Administration be approved.
4, that the third Sunday in May
be approved as a day of fasting, self-denial, and prayer for world evangelization in general and our mission to the world missionaries in particular.
5, that the Sunday from the Committee's day is having in the field and prayer.
250 missionaries by the end of 1982. 6, that the assembly urged the presbyteries to seek out from their midst the finest evangelists in six countries, the men with the greatest potential for self-sufficient evangelism, and seek to recruit them for missionary service overseas. 7, that the assembly authorized Mission of the World to receive a special offering each Sunday beginning in 1979. To be designated for the Ministry of the World Relief Commission as a relief agency utilized by the PCDA.
That the report of the Committee on the Commissioners on the Ministry of the World be considered as a final part of that.
praising him for his blessings upon our growing commitment to world evangelization, seeking his continued blessings upon our efforts to recruit trust of church planters, seeking the outpouring of his spirit upon our churches, creating a desire to fulfill our responsibilities in meeting the needs of our missionaries and proclaiming Christ's gospel around the world, asking his protection and prayer of the staff of Mission to the World and their families, and his blessing upon their ministry to the missionaries, the candidates, and the churches at home. And finally, submitting ourselves to him for whatever changes in our plans and lifestyle he wants to make to further the advancement of his kingdom through world missions. Number 9 is a handout which will be, if you receive it, when you receive the full report, it is a two-page handout that you receive on this number 9, Church Missions Association. The recommendation concerning the CMA appears in a handout. All right, now, we tend to wrap up with the Committee of Commissioners dealt with, so we will read these through and then take them back if you will, one by one. By the Committee of Commissioners, number 1, that recommendation number 1 be adopted, and I might call the attention that it was the number who voted is listed there, 16, to do that with me, that was unanimous.
Assembly rules otherwise that we take them through at them from the beginning. You want to read the whole thing? You got to read the entire thing before you come back.
Well, Mr. Moderator, you're correct.
Number 2, that recommendation number 2 be adopted, 16-0. That recommendation number 3 be adopted, 16-0. That the following be adopted as a substitute for recommendation number 4 above. That the third Sunday in May 1979 be approved as a day of prayer for world evangelization in general and any mission to the world missionaries in particular, and that a cover letter be sent to each church including the time to be set by its session for a period of fasting and or self-denial as the Holy Spirit may lead it. 16-0. The reason for this substitution is that we believe that the General Assembly has a right to call churches to fasting and self-denial, but we believe that no instruction from the Word of God is needed to direct our people in this area of worship to God. Number 5, that recommendation number 5 be deleted. The reason for the deletion is that there does not appear to be a present rationale for this large increase in 4 years. 6, that the president be adopted as a substitute for recommendation number 6 above. That the Assembly urge the presbyters to seek out from the midst the evangelists and church planners, the men with the potential for cross-cultural evangelism, and seek to call them for missionary service, 16-0. The reason for this substitute is that the language is more accurate and appropriate. Number 7, that recommendation number 7 be adopted, 13-3. 8, that recommendation number 8 be adopted, 16-0. That the following be adopted as a substitute for recommendation. And this is where we handed that recommendation out, which is number 9. That the General Assembly to the Federation of 13 Church in America, Church Missions Association, PCA, CMA, in principle to serve under a subcommittee of the 13 Church of America, MTW, committee for the purpose of strengthening the involvement of the local church in the role of the world evangelization. 2, training lay men and women to assist their pastors in implementing missionary education and commitment in the local churches. 3, establishing strong mission committees in the local churches. 4, sharing skills, knowledge, and experiences in successful missions for nations in the local churches. 5, serving from the local churches to a growing responsibility for reaching the unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, including recruiting, training, and supporting their own people as missionaries, organizing pastors. 6, encouraging the local churches to a greater degree of cooperation with Mission to the World and Mission to the United States in promoting prayer and financial support for missionaries and organizing pastors. That, subject to the oversight of the Mission to the World Committee, the PCA, CMA, be governed by officers and a board of directors elected by the individual members at the annual meeting. That the PCA, CMA be made up of individuals who elect to join and pay the dues set by the organization itself. that the financial needs of the PCA CMA be provided for by the views of its members and voluntary contributions of members and interested parties, that the work and activity of the PCA CMA and each presbytery be in cooperation with and under the direction of the presbytery and its duly elected MTW chairman, and in the local church under the oversight of the sessions and its duly elected MTW chairman. That the PCA CMA report to the General Assembly through the MTW committee, and the report will be a part of the annual MTW report to the Assembly. That the PCA CMA be encouraged to work as closely as possible with the women in the church and seek representation from the women in the church at the local, presbyterial, and General Assembly levels. That the Mission to the World committee and the CMA steering committee be instructed to draw up a set of bylaws of the CMA to be presented to the 7th General Assembly. 16-0 is the vote. The reasons for the preferred changes are as follows. More information is desired describing the specific workings of the CMA. B, since all the members of the Permanent Committee are now laboring under heavy responsibilities, their time and energy would be better safeguarded by requiring the CMA to report to a subcommittee rather than be a subcommittee. It was not considered appropriate for church courts to become members of an association. Number 10, that the General Assembly instruct all permanent committees to include additional explanatory information to accompany substantive items in the minutes, 16-0. The reason for this request is that from time to time actions approved by the permanent committee are based on information merely referred to but not included in the minutes. This questioning of the permanent committee usually cleared up the questions arising in such circumstances. 11, that the General Assembly instruct the Mission to the World devise a policy concerning the receipt of contributions that would protect the right of individuals and churches to designate funds and at the same time to provide an aggressive program to encourage contributors to redirect gifts to oversubscribed missionary accounts. The reason for this additional substitution is that some missionary accounts are presently oversubscribed, while others are not able to leave the field due to the lack of funds. Number 6, communications. The committee of commissioners was unable to make a recommendation as to an answer of overture 18 and 22, page 30 in the handbook. The two overtures are essentially identical, and in each case, the vote affirming each was divided 8-8. To the Committee of Commissioners on the Mission of the Realm, Overture 18, from the Presbytery of North Georgia. Whereas the Book of Church Order 15-1 sets forth the certain aspects of the General Assembly's committees, namely that they are not to establish policy, but rather execute policy established by the General Assembly. And whereas the Missions Manual exhibits both the letter and the spirit of this provision, and whereas the General Assembly has approved a two-pronged approach of relating missionaries to fields of service, the primary thrust being the familiar denominational pattern and the secondary thrust being working relationships with other evangelical missionary agencies, and whereas the secondary thrust was approved only where there was strict written agreement to ensure that such missionary endeavor in no way restricted the proclamation of the whole counsel of God, and whereas the clear implication is that the General Assembly wishes to exercise oversight in all mission endeavor to the extent that unbiblical compromises may be avoided, and whereas we have no written agreement with or General Assembly approval of projects such as the Acapulco Crusade, Association of Church Missions Committee, the East West Center, Evangelical Literature Overseas, and similar groups, and whereas the Committee on Mission to the World is following the pre-manual funding such organizations, which has the effect of establishing policy and going beyond the approved two-prong approach permitted in the manual, thus bypassing General Assembly's oversight. Therefore, the Presbytery of North Georgia respectfully overtures the 6th General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church in America to direct the Committee on Mission to the World to cease and desist such extra-manual missionary endeavors until such time as the Missions Manual is amended to permit such, or until the General Assembly makes other provisions for such operations, unanimously adopted by the Presbytery of North Georgia at its stated meeting, April 15, 1978, attest Bob Valentine, State Clerk. And then, number 4 and 5, minutes of the Permanent Committee. The minutes of the permit committee were reviewed and approved with the following exceptions. A, an action report in Article 10, 2, page 6 of the May minutes was viewed as contrary to instructions of the handbook for candidates. Article C1D, reported on page 174 of the minutes of the 4th General Assembly in particular, the statement noted in the minutes is, however, the financial secretary is instructed to begin charging the following items to the missionary support account, which items formerly have been charged to the general fund: itineration expense, prior car expense, prior letter expense, expenses expended on missions of the world in and after November 1, 1977. The instructions of the handbook is expenses of itineration will be the responsibility of the church that served or of mission to the world, and the proof the church is not able to meet such expenses. The vote on this exception is 13-3. B, an action reported in Article 13, 1, page 7 of the September minutes, and in Article 6, J, page 6 of the November minutes, is viewed as being contrary to biblical instructions regarding usury. In particular, the statement of the September minutes is that the minimum interest rate charged on all loans be the current rate being earned by Mission of the World funds and other investments, certificates of deposit. The biblical passages cited were Deuteronomy 23:19-20, Leviticus 25:35-38, and Exodus 22:25-27. The vote on this exception was 9-7. And then under Roman 5, audit report for the year ending December 31st, 1977 was received and reviewed. Roman number 2, the list of the Committee of Commissioners, Ascension, Louisville, Peter Stazen, Carolina not represented, Central Florida, Teaching Elder Liddell, Central Georgia, Ruling Elder, and I found that we have another one that was omitted, also the Mid-Atlantic Presbytery, Lawrence Still, sir, was omitted. He was at our meeting. Pacific was omitted, Mr. Ruling LSI, George Kepper. These omissions will be in the permanent book, but we're left out here. Central Georgia was Ruling Elder Kyle Arnold. Covenant was the Teaching Elder Robert Hayes. Evangel was Ruling Elder Robert Carnes with Ruling Elder Henry Figbin as alternate. Grace was the Teaching Elder Billy Combs, who was secretary. Gulf Coast was Ruling Elder Richard Wilcox. Louisiana, Teaching Elder David Bryson. Mississippi Valley, Teaching Elder David Jeffery. North Georgia, Teaching Elder Edwin Cunningham. Southern Florida was Teaching Elder Harold Borchett. And Texas was the Teaching Elder Charles Town. Area was the Ruling Elder John Vanderveer. Western Carolina was the Teaching Elder Wayne Rogers. Westminster, the Ruling Elder John Thompson. These, this editing will be cleared up in the final report. Mr. Moderator, we are back to the recommendations of the Committee of Commissioners, and how shall we proceed?
All right, this time, Jack. Well, thank you. I'm going to suggest that we take them seriatim, Mr. Chairman. Microphone 15, did you have something procedural? Go ahead, Mr. Chairman. Go ahead.
All right. On page, if you had renumbered it, it would be 909. I believe is where we start with the Committee of Commissioners recommendations. Number one is that recommendation number one be adopted. I believe that's
You move that.
So moved.
Number one has been moved. Second of the committee. Without objection, it is adopted.
Number two, the recommendation number two be adopted. I so moved.
Been moved.
Number three.
Just a minute. I think that,
Mr. Moderator, I think that the chairman would refer us back over to the over or to the recommendations and give the substance of the one and two.
I think that's possible. Why I was hesitating here a minute to see if this would be the proper procedure. The recommendation number one that was adopted was on page 908 as we renumbered our pages. But the assembly expressed its gratitude to God for answers to prayer in the provision. Is there any need to read this whole recommendation?
No.
All right. And that's adopted. Number two, that the assembly re-elect the Reverend Paul McCown as coordinator, and the Reverend Kendrick Smart as coordinator of church life. And this has been, as far as I believe at this point, it has been adopted.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Hold on. I want the assembly to vote on this one.
I so move that number two be.
Any discussion?
All in favor, please say aye.
Opposed, no.
Paul, that's a mandate.
Number three, that the budget of 1979 is presented by the Committee on Administration be approved. I move this adoption.
This will have to be deferred, Mr. Chairman, until the Committee on Administration has been will report. So
all
we'll
right.
Just defer.
Refer it and move to four.
Deferred.
Number four, that the third Sunday in May be approved as a day of fasting, self-denial, and prayer for world evangelization in general, and our mission to the world missionaries in particular. Now, if you'll note, the commissioners have reworded this. Number four, that the following be adopted as a substitute for recommendation number four, that the third day in May 1979 be approved as a day of prayer for world evangelization in general, and our own mission to the world missionaries in particular, and that a cover letter be sent to each church encouraging a time be set by its session for a period of fasting and or self-denial as the Holy Spirit may lead it. And the reason, we have stated reasons, now we could not read the full gist of the reason, but we do just, we want part of it. The reason for this substitution is that we believe that the General Assembly has the right to call churches to fasting and self-denial, but we believe that more instruction from the Word of God is needed to direct our people in this area of worship to God. And so, Mr. Chairman, I move it be adopted.
Been moved. Microphone 11.
Mr. Moderator. Moderator Palmer Robertson from the Presbytery of Mid-Atlantic. I would like to move a substitute that recommendation number four above be adopted. That is, that the original form of the motion as presented by the Mission to the World Committee be the form that the Assembly now adopts.
I'll accept that as a proper substitute. Is there a second?
I see it seconded.
Mr. Moderator, it would seem that the thing that was holding back the calling for an actual fast was a feeling on the part of the Committee of Commissioners that our churches did not understand fasting. The question is, what is the best way in which we may bring our people to an awareness of what fasting is all about? And it would seem to me that this notation should remind us that we need to instruct our churches in this area, but it should not discourage us from proceeding to go ahead and call a day of fasting. This particular day was a great blessing to our local congregation, a time of great growth, and I would like very much to see our assembly join once more in calling a day of fasting this coming year.
Microphone 13.
It's not really the same material. That's the same thing. I am all in favor of fasting. I think it's the most exciting thing we can do in spiritual discipline. But I also think Sunday is not the day to fast.
that's the day of resurrection, a
celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's probably behind what the commissioners are thinking about here. I would think they would do well to call for another day of
prayer and fasting. You seem to have some biblical confusion as to what fasting is.
You're thinking, Bob, see?
Microphone 10.
Bob Smith, Mid-Atlantic. I would think that the question, then, depending on the answer, make an amendment to either to the substitute or to the original if that's permitted. I'd like to ask a question to the committee. When this third Sunday of May was considered, was the calendar checked for 1979 to see if this was Mother's Day as it was 1978? Is it Mother's Day?
It is not.
Thank you. That answers my question.
Question. Are you seeking the microphone?
Microphone 9. Peter Sturgeon, Ascension Presbytery. That came up in discussion concerning Mother's Day, but I think the intent, again, should not be a secular day should take precedence over the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day ought to be number one. I would speak against the substitution, but for as to the committee.
I see no one seeking a microphone. The chairman of the committee has the right to make a final statement about the committee's recommendation before we vote.
Permanent?
Both of them?
Yes, Mr. Moderator, the rules read that when the committee or commission comes in with a contrary or differing recommendation, chairman of the permanent committee has the right to defend their permanent committee's recommendation if he desires to do so.
He does not. Mr. Benchoff, do you want to say something?
I'd like to know, are we discussing the amendment or the substitute motion that was presented by the
We are discussing and about to vote on the amendment by Mr. Robertson, and the question is whether you have anything you want to say before we vote. No commissioner was seeking the microphone, and so I am going to call for the vote.
After I told the chairman that he had a final word, but in this case I'm going to let him because he nominated me yesterday. And he's microphone number 10.
Mr. Moderator, may I make one point on this? If I understood Mr. Dr. Robertson's motion, it was a substitute. Is that correct? In which case, the proper procedure would be to amend either motion, get them in the best possible form, and then the assembly decide which one they want.
That's correct.
So you may be discussing either of the motions and amending either motion, get it into the final form, and then decide whether you will substitute or not.
The stated clerk is stating something that's accurate and it was used at the PCUS General Assembly at great length last week for the first time in the 20 years I've attended the PCUS Assembly. When such a procedure is followed, however, I am going to rule this time, it has to be understood as the procedure that we are following and not called to the moderator's attention when we're getting ready to vote. So this time we're not going to accept that procedure. I had said that we would allow the committee a final word before we voted, and then I also said that I was going to let Mr. Borchardt say what he wanted to say, and then we're going to...
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. Not for the reason you said, but simply because I was waiting for the chairman to speak in regard to your giving information, and since there was no reference from the chairman of the committee, I felt that as a member of that committee, somebody ought to speak, and I had something to say. One of the problems this year, quite obviously, the reference has been made to Mother's Day. That was not a critical area, but it was seen very quickly that a day of fasting could be better assigned or recommended by the session of the church. One of the members of the committee brought out the idea that they fasted on Saturday preceding the glorious resurrection of our Lord, the Sabbath day, and Mother's Day, and they fasted on Saturday very meaningfully. This is simply the idea that the session, knowing the congregation and the needs of the congregation, might well
accept that day of prayer and fasting, not according to the General Assembly rule, but at the time during that week that would be appropriate for them, or another time. The General Assembly is suggesting the third Sunday. The committee is simply saying that the session may set another day for fasting, and the cover letter would explain a little bit more about biblical fasting, the idea. All right, we're going to let Mr. Brinkhoff say anything he wishes to say in conclusion, and we're going to vote.
And that's exactly what I would have said.
All right, if you vote aye on this proposal, you will be substituting the original recommendation of the committee, which is on page 2 of the standing of the Committee of Commissioners, or page 908, however you have it numbered. You'll be substituting that recommendation for the one that the committee has proposed on the opposite page. Is everyone clear? If you favor this substitution, would you please say aye? If you oppose it, say no. The motion is lost. Mr. Chairman, go ahead with the next one.
Where are we now?
Oh, all right. Okay. Now we come back to vote on the committee's recommendation itself. If you favor the committee's recommendation, say aye. Opposed, no. Now we're ready for the next.
Moving to number 5, recommendation number 5 is that the fee to fund the committee's goal of having on the field a qualified, fully supported force of 250 missionaries by the end of 1982. The recommendation from your committee of commissioners is that number 5 be deleted.
I'm going to recognize, first of all, microphone 16.
This is Don Patterson from Mississippi Valley. I'd like to move a substitute motion. My substitute would be that we would substitute recommendation number 5 in the permanent committee's report for recommendation number 5 in the report of the committee of commissioners.
I will accept that as a substitute. Is that second? It's been seconded.
Mr. Moderator, may I just have the indulgence of the court? It seems to me that our permanent committee needs to be commended for the fact that they are a goal-oriented committee.
The openness of the committee in sharing with us their goals is an encouragement to me. And the 250 missionaries by 1982 is in no way an exaggerated number. It does not indicate irresponsible thinking, but rather indicates a growth of only 25 missionaries a year. Presently, the committee, according to figures that I have, is interviewing about half of that number every time they meet. I'm not sure what the committee of commissioners had in mind as they spoke of the rationale. But this is not an exaggerated figure. It does not indicate any kind of exaggerated growth on the part of this committee's work. Rather, I think the body needs to keep in mind the fact that our presbyteries are the groups that are at work in trying to recruit and trying to find men to do the job of church planting. If the presbyteries are currently sending at the rate of about 10 or 12 candidates every time the committee meets, which is 3 or 4 times a year, it seems to me as though we're burdening the presbyteries if this motion would pass, if the recommendation is passed by the committee of commissioners, we're burdening the presbyteries with a hard responsibility. Goals, it seems to me, aid in the planning of what the committee wants to do. And I hope that the assembly will understand the significance of this report, and they're asking that we simply affirm what they want to do.
I hope that you will support the permanent committee, and I would hope that you would vote for the substitute.
Jim, I'm not putting you off, but do you want to speak in the negative or in the affirmative? Well, the microphone 13 was on the floor before you.
Wow.
I also want to speak in the affirmative.
Go ahead.
I think the Jim Begg Central Georgia Presbytery, I think the issue here is far more than just the mission to the world. I'm going to make an assumption that the thinking behind the Committee of Commissioners was that we need to balance and meet the needs of all of our committees. And the way we balance and meet the needs with our present income is by reducing the level that is being given to the largest or the biggest of the committees. And therefore, we will balance and we will meet the needs of all. And that is not, that solution is not simply meeting the need. It's the introduction for the first time in our history of a cutback, a reduction in the goals and vision of our whole assembly. Once you introduce this idea, then we're not going to stop with the mission to the world. We'll go to the Christian Education Committee. And then it will be mission to the United States and perhaps even the Administration Committee. This is no time for our assembly to falter. The money that is necessary for all that God has asked us to do is present within the Presbyterian Church in America. We just haven't gone about it. We have not appealed to our people in the proper way. When we hear a report like we've just heard from our permanent committee, how could we possibly suggest that we better reduce our goals, which are not accepted goals? In fact, there are many who think that 250 by 1982 is too low. We ought to have more, a higher goal. But I'm going to appeal to not only those who are thinking in terms of world missions, but in Christian education and particularly missions to the U.S. as well. The money is there. I'm almost going to suggest to our assembly that there are those present who know better than I how we ought to be approaching our presbyteries and our individual churches as to the giving of money, especially when we hear that some 32% of our churches don't give anything. I hope that you won't falter at this time.
Are you speaking up?
I want to read one passage of Scripture, then I'll read. I was at a breakfast this morning, YTS, and this passage was read in closing. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus in all ages, world without end. Let us not falter on that promise.
Are you against? Just a minute. Microphone 14. Are you speaking against?
My concern is, yes, I'm against. But I'd like to ask, if I may, two questions of the chairman of the permanent committee.
Well, you can speak against by question or by comment, but I am taking an alternate letter. We've had two comments in favor. I just want to know if you are opposed.
I'm opposed.
You have the floor.
I'd ask Pete Austin, please, what he would, what they project. They're projecting 250 missionaries by then. What he projects the budget to mission the world to be in 1982, and what percentage of that is there because of the effect of international inflation?
Those are your questions.
Yes.
Pete, you want to answer that?
Mr. Moderator, I'm going to attempt to answer that. I'm not prepared to answer it in sufficient detail. As we looked for an entire day last January in our long-range planning committee at the whole question of where we think the Lord would have us to be 5 years from now, we did look at what the budget might be. And as we increase our percentage, as you saw in the presentation that we gave you through our coordinator, Paul McCoy, as we not only increase the number of missionaries, we are sensitive to the mandate of the General Assembly to increase the proportion of those missionaries who will be PCO church planters. God is answering our prayers, and that is, in fact, the increase that is taking place. That happens to be the most expensive type of missionary that we send. This church planting team to Rio will be more expensive than any other four missionary men that we will send to the field. So the increase will be there because of inflation, which we picked a figure of 7%. Don't know whether that's going to be high or low. But 7% times 5 years is 35%, even if you don't compound it. So if we didn't have any increase and didn't even compound inflation, the budget would be 35% bigger in 5 years. Then when we do add the increases that we feel that God is wanting us to have in the whole area of world missions, and then when we look at the increased cost of church planters themselves, and when we add one other significant figure that you may not have caught as Paul went very quickly through his slides, we as the Mission of the World Committee would like to see 5 years from now approximately 10% of our income and disbursements, call it either one you will, going in this whole area of war relief, of hunger, of starvation, of helping disasters and that type of thing. We feel that our impact in that whole area is just much, much too small right now. And that's one of the reasons we have asked for this special offering at Easter time for world relief. So putting all of those things together, we think in 1982 we'll be looking at about a $5 million budget. We're not proposing that to you. We don't think we're smart enough to tell you what that's going to be. But in answer to your question, that's the best that one man can answer. Now, what was your other question?
The percentage that would be there by international inflation, you pretty well answered that. Thank you.
Microphone 14 has been standing.
Laura Vidal from Central Florida Presbytery. I served on that committee of commissioners, and I think there are some points that need to be brought out. Pete has alluded to some of those as he was speaking then, but in relation to the phrase of the reason given by the committee, the present, there doesn't seem to be any present rationale. I think it's very important that the Mission of the World Committee be involved in strategic planning, and I think this goal is one expression of that. They have done this, and the information was given to the committee commissioners that this was one of the expressions of the Mission of the World Long-Range Planning Committee that took one whole day to establish where we're going as a mission of the world. So I feel like, and I voted in the minority on this recommendation, I feel like the present rationale has been worked out by the Mission of the World Committee, and we need to affirm that, affirm them in this. This Mission of the World Committee and this recommendation number 5 is seeking also to keep everything on the table before the General Assembly rather than, you know, just making this a committee goal. And in seeking to be transparent before the General Assembly, they are coming and asking for our affirmation of this goal. And I feel like they're moving in the direction we have asked them to move. Also, a rationale that was presented by Mr. Bishop was the rationale, and I feel the major rationale expressed in the passing of this recommendation of the committee. And I disagree with that rationale. I feel like if they continue to move ahead as the Mission of the World Committee, that we are going to instill vitality in the denomination that will be expressed in all four major committees. And so I would speak in favor of a substitute motion.
Microphone 8, are you in favor or opposed? He is opposed. Microphone 8 has the floor.
Mr. Moderator, Bill Cone, Grace Presbyterian. I served on the Committee of Commissioners, and I did vote to eliminate or delete this particular recommendation, and I did so not for the reason listed in the report, but on what I think would be a biblical ground. The principle that I'm following to make that vote was to set such a goal is in the secret will of God and not within our responsibility.
Now let me illustrate the principle like this. If I said to my church session that we wanted to do 300 members from our present 100 in 3 years, that would be an unbiblical goal. If I said to my session, in the realm of our responsibility, let us seek to make 25 visits in home each week and increase it over the years by 10%. That's in the realm of our responsibility. We cannot dictate to God that we want 300 members. I do not believe that we can dictate to God that we want 250 missionaries. I believe that the thinking that has been expressed and Mr. Baird spoke to is correct. If I was concerned about one of my children becoming taller than the other, I certainly wouldn't jump off a foot or two to hope the second would go. If I were going to clear a field that I might plant a crop, I would not measure the temperature of one part of the field when I burned it to be sure that it didn't get a little too hot because I want to clear the field. I believe we ought to pray urgently to the Lord of the harvest to give us many missionaries, and I would hope and pray that we have far more than 250. But I believe to say that the Lord should give us 250 is not biblical.
Microphone 13.
Moderator, this is Jack Williamson from the Presbytery. I speak in support of the Sepulchre as a member of the Mission to the World Committee. I want to speak for a moment, fathers and brethren, about what I think is an underlying issue here that we must face, and we're going to be facing it all through this assembly. I think we have a certain, I know the Holy Spirit gave John Clark, our retired moderator, the passage from which he preached. Fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Now, I'm a fiscal conservative. I don't believe in spending money we don't have or being reckless as we go about it. But I have to detect a note of fear and a note of panic. As crises are living in the PCA, in the Christian Education Committee, we are told we're getting only 64% of our money. We know of the crises in the U.S. this year. And the fear that I'm afraid that these fears and panics will blur our vision. We don't accomplish the work God has done and given to us by failing to have vision. Without vision, the prophet says, we shall perish, and that we shall. Brothers, what is the real issue? One of the real issues underlying that we must all face, and I was told yesterday that it's time the assembly got to talking about real issues. Let's talk about real issues. Will. There are people who support Christian education. There's the people who, and they're not getting the money. There are people who feel like, and I agree with them 100%, we must have a strong Christian education committee. Without it, as Jimmy Lyon says, we'll be like Jergens lotion. We must have a strong home church. The MUS committee must be strongly supported. Without a strong home-based world, missions will dry up. There won't be any base for it. But brother, does that mean that we're going to cut off one arm, as Billy Graham says, and think it's going to strengthen the other? No, the vision is, and the possibility is under God's grace, we can do the work that God has given us. We haven't been doing. We haven't been meeting our assembly goals. It can be done. Listen, Jimmy Lyons just pointed out to you that the churches of this denomination gave $26 million last year. And that's a pittance to the money that God has blessed our people with. That's a pittance. But even with that, a $4 million budget is less than 10% to fund everything that the committees are requesting. Can we not do this? Now, brothers, let me say to you. I think that we need And I'm going to propose it, not now, but at the proper time, a systematic giving allocation system. We've been doing it random. I think every one of you ruling members out there, many preaching members, get so many requests and so many crises that if you don't know where to turn or where to go. We've got to face the issue that we must fund our budget and we must do it in a systematic manner. Not destroying the liberty we have to designate, not destroying the liberty and freedom we have in our local church to say how we will give. But I believe we as the local people want God. It's what our share of what our fair share is in funding this budget. And I believe it can be done. It's less than $70 per capita a member to fund the whole thing. How can it be done? I'm going to propose that the subcommittee on stewardship, after this assembly, go through the budgets that we pass and allocate askings to every presbytery in this church and send it down within 30 days to these presbyteries and say to these presbyteries, if we're going to fund this, we must have pledges from you. And then I'm going to suggest that within 30 days, those presbyteries contact every church, every one of you members, every section, and say,
Mr. Moderator, you're getting off subject.
Okay. I'm going to propose a systematic program. You let me talk long enough to get off the subject. I believe it can be done, and I believe that we want to do it. And I believe all we want is some guidance on how to do it, and I believe as Presbyterians we can give that guidance to the local people. Brethren, don't blow a block the vision that God has given to us. Let us undertake with God's help and with His sufficiency the task He's put in our hands. What a goal, 250, it's minimum. I support the substitute.
The time on the main motion has elapsed, and it is the requirement of the month. It is required of the month. You have 1.5 more minutes. I'm going to put it now, whether or not the assembly wants to extend the time on debate. We have heard a proportion of speeches in the manner in which you have heard them, and it is up to this body as to whether or not extension will be given. If an extension is not given, the next speaker will have about 1.5 minutes. What is the wish of the body? Number 10. Does the assembly desire to extend the time? 10 minutes.
I call a question, Mr. Moderator.
No, sir. I'm not going to accept that call for a question at this time. I'm sorry. What you were asking, were you asking for a call for a question on extension? No. I'm going to call for a question on extending the time. I'm not going to accept a call for the question on the question. Does the assembly wish to extend the time of debate by 10 minutes? All in favor, say aye. All opposed, no. The next speaker has about 1.5 minutes. Are you for or against?